Good evening. It's good to see everyone here tonight. Like Brother Guy said, this is the halfway point of our Vacation Bible School. Has been very successful so far, and we look forward to seeing what the next three nights are holding. We do have several visitors here. We'd like to invite you back at any point in time you may have. Our normal Sunday morning worship services, 10 o'clock is our Bible study, 10:45 is the worship services, 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon for worship services again, and then our midweek Bible study is Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Tonight we're going to be talking about humility. And as I was preparing this lesson and going over it today, I was reminded of a story of a man named Robert Wynn. Robert Wynn was nicknamed Popeye and was a soldier in the 101st Division Airborne Unit of what was known as Easy Company. And he flew in behind the lines of Germany on D-Day, on June 6, 1942. And was part of the mission to take out some of the big cannons so that our soldiers and sailors could storm the beaches of Utah Beach. And throughout the fighting, Popeye was had gotten caught behind one of the trenches, and a grenade was thrown into close to him and three others. And he got in front of the grenade and saved the other men and was injured but not killed. And I was, from time to time, I hear the story told by his commanding officer, which was Major Richard Winters. And as Winters tells this story, he talks about how beautiful it was that when he got injured, he went back to Winters and said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I got injured and I let the man down." And Winters recalls, as he's fighting back tears, it's beautiful that someone is serving like that, almost gives up his life, and then comes back and apologizes for getting hurt. And as we talk about the lesson tonight, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, is watching out for others, serving others, and not putting ourselves first. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 9. This is the lesson that the children are going to be learning in the back. Starting in verse 46, the 12 apostles are having an argument. And it says, "An argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood him by his side and said to them, 'Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great.'" Matthew and Mark also tell the story. We're going to turn to Matthew right quick and look at Matthew's account of this. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 1. Says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me.'" So what we have here is that we have the 12 apostles, the 12 chosen men by Jesus to walk with him every single day. And they're arguing which one of us is the greatest. Now, there have been a lot of great things that have happened so far to this point. Many miracles, a lot of people who have been healed, and a lot of great work being done. And the apostles know that something great is going on here and that they're part of it. And so they're sitting there saying, "Man, this is awesome. You know, which one of us is the greatest apostle? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And what Jesus says is that he takes a child and said that unless you're like this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is saying is that don't put yourself right here on a pedestal. Instead, you need to bring yourself down to about this level right here. Just as a little child, you need to be innocent like a child. You need to be willing to serve like a child. You need to be humble and show humility like a child. And it's a very good lesson for the apostles, but it's not one that sticks, because as we go further into Luke chapter 22, we see the same argument again. Now here in Luke chapter 22, this is at the Passover of what is known as the Last Supper of Jesus, who is eating with his apostles. This is the night that he is going to be betrayed and that he is going to be arrested to be crucified. And as we pick up in verse 24, it says, "And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you, but the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest.'" Again, an analogy back to the little kids. "And the leader like the servant." So what Jesus is saying here is that don't seek to be the greatest, don't seek to be the leader, but rather what you need to do is that you need to be a servant. And that's going to be the focal point of our lesson tonight, is being servants, is putting others before ourselves, and serving God and serving others, and to not put ourselves on that own pedestal that the apostles are trying to do here. And there's no greater story to look at and no greater example than that of Jesus. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at several examples of how Jesus shows us what we need to do in regards to having humility. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now let's just stop right there. They're asking Jesus, or telling Jesus, "We want you to do whatever we ask." Can you imagine telling Jesus, "Hey, I want you to do whatever I ask you to do"? I would never even ask that to my boss, much less the Son of God. But yet, that's what they do. As we continue in verse 36, "And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Grant us that so that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory.' But Jesus said to him, 'You do not know what you ask. You are able to drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with.' They said to him, 'We are able.' So Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared.' And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. And Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who were considered rulers over the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever you desires to be first shall be slave of all.'" So again, we see that comparison there to where in order to be truly great and in order to really do the will of God, we must not be willing to necessarily lead or to think highly of ourselves, but rather to serve, to put others first and to serve God. We see the same example in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, Jesus is telling of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And starting in verse 10, he says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" So why is the tax collector justified over the Pharisee? Because it says the tax collector doesn't even look to heaven, and it just simply says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." While the Pharisee is sitting over there saying, "Father, thank you for making me like this. Thanks for not making me like him and like all these other sinners out there." The point that Jesus is making here is that, again, don't put yourself above anyone, but rather be merciful to God, which is exactly what the tax collector did. He simply said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And we all must realize that we are sinners and that we are never above that. And that's the point that Jesus is making here. And so if we have that idea or that attitude of humility and humbleness, then that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. We see the same thing out of John 11, verse 35. No need to turn there because it's already up here. Simply, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the entire Bible, but those two most powerful words. There's a whole sermon here in just this one verse. Jesus wept. Now, as Matt Burns talked about last night, weeping means not just a tear or two falls from your face, but it is a period of where you're exceedingly sorrowful. And you are crying with all emotion. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Jesus has learned that Lazarus is dead, that his sisters have come to him to tell him of that. And here in verse 35, it says that Jesus wept, which doesn't mean that Jesus just had a tear fall down from his face, but meant that he was so emotional that he was sobbing. Can you imagine the Son of God being so emotional, showing those human aspects and characteristics of just weeping like this? One thing that I've learned the last few years from coaching is that when you're coaching teenage boys, you learn that a lot of them don't like to show their emotions. And they don't like to show when they're defeated or weak or when they're sorrowful. A lot of times when they're hurt, they try to go back in and say, I'm fine, just put me back in. And a lot of the coaches that I've been around have been the same way. Matter of fact, I coached with one guy a couple years ago, and he said that when he was growing up, his father was always his coach of these different sports and was always very tough on him and would never let him cry because he said it was a sign of weakness. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people believe, that it's a sign of weakness. So does that mean that Jesus is showing a sign of weakness here? Absolutely not. The most powerful man. He's the Son of God. It means that he is showing humility. It means that he is showing that he is not above anything else and that he weeps. And we must always be willing to show the same characteristics. If we turn two chapters over into John 13, we see yet another example of Jesus putting himself before others. John chapter 13, starting in verse 5, says, "After that, he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which it was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you will not understand now, but you will know after this.'" Now, it's customary that when you invited someone into your house, that you would wash your feet. And again, Matt just explained that last night in his lesson, that the woman, as her tears fell down, she was washing Jesus' feet, which is what Simon should have been or should have already done as Jesus came into his house. Keep in mind, at this point in time, people didn't wear Nikes or Adidas or Dockers. All right, they basically wore sandals. And they're walking around in dirt streets and in the sand, and your feet get very dirty, they get very worn out, very cracked. And so it was a sign of hospitality that as you invited someone into your home to wash your feet. But Jesus, why is Jesus washing anyone's feet? And that's basically what Peter is saying here. As we pick up in verse 8, Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." Peter is saying, "You're the Son of God. Why would you be washing anybody's feet? We should be washing yours." And Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now, throughout 10 months of the year, I talk about a lot of different rulers. From kings, queens, dictators, presidents, and I don't know of a single one that would ever sit there and wash somebody's feet or that would ever serve someone like this. As we pick up in verse 13, Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." What Jesus has done here is that he has shown them what they need to do, that they need to put others first, that they need to serve others. And again, if Jesus, the Son of God, is willing to put himself down on that level to weep and to wash his disciples' feet, then it tells us that we need to do the same thing. We turn to Philippians chapter 2. Paul is going to use Jesus as an example. And we're going to start in verse 5. Paul is talking about Jesus, and he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." What Paul is saying here when it comes to humility and being humble, there's no greater example than Jesus. And we could talk all night long, all week long, about the great things that Jesus did and the great examples that he laid out for us. And that's what Paul is saying here. Matter of fact, he called Jesus a bondservant because he came not to serve himself, but rather to serve others. He says, even until death. And as we look at the crucifixion, we see the greatest example of humility. As Jesus was captured, he was beaten, He was tortured. He was mocked, spat upon. As he was nailed to the cross, he could have at any point in time said, this is not going to happen. I'm not going through this. But he doesn't. Because until the point that Jesus leaves this earth, he is constantly serving others. And in this case, he is serving us, dying for the remission of our sins. So there's no great example of humility in the Bible than Jesus. But we're also going to talk about Paul as well. Now, we could talk about several different examples tonight, but for the sake of time, we're going to look at Jesus and also at Paul. And we're going to stay in Philippians to look at exactly why we're going to talk about Paul. I like talking about Paul. I've used him several times already in some of my sermons. Because when it comes as an example of how we should live our lives, of how we should conduct our worship services, there are not many more influential apostles than Paul. He wrote more than a dozen books of the New Testament and is a very important figure in how we study. So in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7, he says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish that I may gain Christ." Now, if you don't know the history of Paul, Paul, before becoming a Christian, was a Roman soldier. And his primary job as a Roman soldier was to persecute Christians. He was to seek them out from city to city to arrest them and even at times put them to death. And it is on the road to Damascus that Paul is going to do just that, that a bright light shines down upon him, blinds him, and that the voice of Jesus comes down to Paul. And throughout the series of events, Paul is converted and spends the rest of his life becoming a dedicated Christian. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, "I count all things lost in the view of surpassing, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." What Paul is saying is that I have lost everything in regards to riches, in regards to titles, in regards to social status, but he says, "I count them rubbish." All those things I had before, all those things I could have had, they're rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, because that's the only thing that matters. You look at what Paul could have been had he not been converted in regards to Roman status. He could have been a great commander. He could have maybe even become a ruler, become very rich. Paul says that's not what it's about. All that's rubbish. All that doesn't matter. What matters is that we put Christ first. What matters is that we go to heaven. And that's what we're seeing here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Again, Paul is a very influential man in the Bible. You can't hardly read the New Testament past Acts without hearing something about Paul, whether it's his letters or whether it's a reference to Paul. All the things that he suffered, all the things that he went through. But yet he says, "Not only am I the least of the apostles, but I'm not even fit to be called an apostle." What kind of humbleness and humility it takes for a man like that who went through severe beatings himself. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He almost died. He was arrested. He went on all these different journeys all across the Middle East and into Europe. But yet he says, "I'm not even fit to be called an apostle because of what I did in my past, because of the persecution against the church." And we see something similar in 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12, Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I do obtain mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief." So not only does Paul say that I'm the lowest of the apostles, I don't even deserve to be an apostle, he says, "I am the chief of sinners." Now we all have sin. Nobody here is perfect. And for Paul, the apostle Paul, to say that when it comes to sinners, I'm right there at the top, that's the kind of humility that we need to have. Again, Paul never put himself on this level. Paul did just as Jesus said, and he put himself down on the level of children. to where he always showed humility, always showed that humbleness. And again, set forth a great example for us as Christians. So how do we apply these things to our lives? Now that we've seen what humility looks like, we know what it is, we've seen a couple of great examples of it, how do we apply that to our lives? Well, we need to apply it in our teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." From time to time, especially on Sunday nights, I'll be flipping through channels, and there will be some congregations who are showing their lessons from the day or maybe from the past week. And many of those have really good lessons depending on where it's coming from. Very uplifting, or some of those are very scriptural lessons. But from time to time, you get to one to where you can tell that it's not about God. It's more about what they're trying to portray. It's all about an agenda. Or maybe it's just all about being heard. Whatever it is, it's about the wisdom of men instead of the power of God. When we're talking to others about the Bible, or when we're preaching or teaching class in the back, it needs to be about the Word of God. It needs to be about the power of God. Because there's no greater power on earth or anywhere else that is more powerful than God. And so why would we ever need to add words to that? Why would we ever need to go outside of the Bible? Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We know that we're supposed to talk to people about the Bible. It's a commandment. Whether it's brothers and sisters of Christ, whether it's friends, family members, co-workers. But we have to be careful at how we do that. In the adult class, we've started reading out of a book about how to talk to your neighbors and friends about the Bible. And the first chapter spends a whole lot of time talking about there is a certain way to do that. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And if we go to others talking about the Bible with a conceited attitude or thinking that we know it all, then you really run into a very dangerous territory. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with the humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." And this is what Paul says before he gives that example of the humility of Jesus. So when we're talking to those about the Bible, we shouldn't put ourselves first. We shouldn't act like we have all the knowledge, because we don't. But rather, have that humility. Bring ourselves down to this level. And treat them as we would want to be treated. Because if we don't, it could really set really a dangerous precedent in going forward. We should show humility in how we treat others. Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6 are both about the golden rule. Luke chapter 6 verse 31 says, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." Be kind. And that's exactly what Colossians chapter 3 says. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12, "So as those who have not been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And really, this passage pertains to everything up here on this list. It pertains to how we talk to others about the Bible. It talks about how we treat others. It talks about our relationship, whether it's husband, wife, parents, children, friends, co-workers, whatever it is. Showing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's exactly what Jesus showed us. That's exactly the kind of humility that we're given in the Bible. And then we also need to show humility when it comes to temptation. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 8 says, "If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be cast into the eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into the fiery hell. If you have something in your life that's causing you to sin, get rid of it. If you think that you are above temptation, above sin, that nothing can touch me, I know exactly what the Bible says, I know what I must do, nothing can ever knock me down. It's a very dangerous mindset because that's exactly when we're the most vulnerable. Just when we think that we cannot be defeated, it's when we are our most vulnerable. And so we must take these words of Jesus and think that we are never above sin. Because we're not. Again, we're all sinners. We're going to sin whether we like it or not. We are never above that. So we must always put ourselves down here at this level, just as Jesus said. Because if we don't, if you're coming down from here, that's a hard fall. And sometimes that's a fall that you may not come back from. So what are the dangers if we don't follow the words of Jesus, if we don't have the humility? There's so many different negative impacts that could happen to us. When it comes to talking to us about the Bible, if we don't show humility in doing that, we could turn others off from the Bible or away from church. I've heard many stories, unfortunately, of people who did not show humility when talking to others about the Bible. Things like, I'm right and you're wrong and that's the way it is. Or acting like they were higher or better than the person that they were talking to. And it's a very dangerous thing for us to do that, because if we turn someone from the Bible, if we turn someone away from church, then that's something we're going to have to answer to. We can interpret the Scriptures in an incorrect way. If we assume that we know exactly what the Scriptures say, and we say, well, I know it says this, it means this, and there's no other way around it, we could have a misinterpretation. There are a lot of things in the Bible that are not necessarily clear-cut. And if we try to interpret that, and we're absolutely sure that this is what it means, and there's no way around it, we could be wrong. The last time I was up here, I said something that was incorrect, and somebody pointed it out to me. I said that before the New Covenant Church, if you weren't born into the original Jewish households, then there was no way to get to heaven. And I was wrong on that. Matter of fact, I didn't even talk about that when I was preparing for my lesson. Just something that came out. All right, I wasn't being careful. I wasn't focusing. And that can happen from time to time. But we have to make sure that we know exactly what we're saying, what we're doing, and know exactly what the Bible says. We can fall into temptation. We can lose focus. We can be a bad example to others. People are looking at us whether we like it or not. And whether we like it or not, they have a certain mindset about Christians that we have to live up to. If someone knows that you go to church, then they're looking at a certain things out of us. And if we don't show that humility, if we don't show that serving others like Jesus did, then it can have a very negative impact on a lot of people. People turn around and say, well, you're a hypocrite. Or you do this wrong, you do this wrong. I hear that all the time. All you have to do is just look at what's in the media. Look at a lot of things that are being said about Christians today. Right, we're on a very small microscope. We have to be careful. We have to show humility at all times because people are looking at us and seeing what we do. And the most dangerous thing of all is that we might not make it to heaven. If we don't show humility, just like Jesus said, if we don't bring ourselves down to this level like little children, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's a very dangerous thing to go all throughout life, to stand before God one day and for Him to say, depart from me, I never knew you. So we have to make sure that we follow these words exactly. There are so many other passages that I don't have time to go through tonight, that talks about humility. If you think it's just two or three passages or it's just about Jesus and Paul, then you're wrong. Story of Nebuchadnezzar, Abraham, Moses, it's all throughout the Bible that we have to show humility. So as we begin to close out, we've got a few minutes left. Kids are going to come back here in about 5 minutes. I want to leave you with this question. How do we show humility? Are we serving others just as Jesus served others? And if not, then we need to make a change. Are we living our lives like Jesus did? And a lot of people could say, well, you know, Jesus was the only perfect man that ever walked this earth. There's no way that we could ever live up to Jesus. Well, maybe that's true. But we can certainly take the things that He told us to do, and we can abide by that. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. So I want you to take these next few minutes as the kids come back out and as they begin to sing the songs, I want you to reflect on this. Are you doing everything that you need to serve God? Are you doing everything that you need to serve others? What kind of humility are you showing? Because if you're not doing what you need to, then we need to make a change. There's no greater example than Jesus. And there's nobody who said it best. And if we're not doing that, then we need to improve. This Vacation Bible School has been great so far. We've had 4 baptisms. Starting Sunday night, we had Addie Mae. We had Audrey Monday night. We had Peyton and Jaden yesterday. We can continue that tonight. And if any of this applies to you, if you're not living the kind of life that you need to, if you're not showing the humility that you need to, then you need to make that change. Like Matt said last night, there's no greater humility than to take that step out and to come forward. So think about these things over the next few minutes and as we go forward. As we close out, I want to go back and look at a couple of these passages right quick and look a little more at where the Bible talks about in regards to humility. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love." And that word love is exactly what it means to be humble. When we serve others, when we put others first, one word describes it perfectly, and that is love. When Jesus gave His life on the cross for us, what was He showing us? He was showing us love. When you sacrifice yourself for others, what are you showing? You're showing love. And that comes from humility. Thank you for your attention tonight. Lord willing, here in a few minutes, we'll close out with the invitation.
Welcome back again from Discovering the Treasures of Jesus. We had a good number again tonight. We had 75 classes. That's wonderful. So glad that you all are learning and that you're coming and anticipating. And I love that you're raising your hands and answering questions. I'm sure you've been doing that in class tonight as well. For those of you who want to stand, just stand. Let's sing, "I'm in the Lord's Army." I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly on the enemy, I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery.
Thank you.
All right, just a couple minutes ago, I left you with a question. And that is, are you serving God like you need to? Take the things that we have learned tonight about humility, and are we showing the humility that we need to, that Jesus told us to? We need to be like these people right here. It's exactly what Jesus was talking about when he made that reference in Luke chapter 9. If we're not like that, then we need to make a change. If we're not faithful to God, if we haven't been serving Him and putting Him first, putting others first, then we need to change that. Like I said a few minutes ago, we've had four come forward this week already to be baptized. We've added four people as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's such a great joy to do that. But we can do more. If there's someone out there who has not taken that step yet, who has not come forward to be baptized, then take that step right now. It's not easy. I know it's hard to step out of that aisle and come forward. Many of us have done that before. But it's the best decision that you'll ever make to become a Christian, to show that kind of humility and to serve Christ for your life. Maybe you've taken that step but haven't been serving Him like you need to. If that's the case, then again, please come forward. Please confess your sins. We've had two do that a week already. Whether it's to come to be restored or to be forgiven of your sins, whatever it may be. If any of this applies to you, we ask you please come forward as we stand and as we sing.